introducing John Herrington and Adult Entertainment. In this special feature, John's interviewed by Pete Feenstra.
I'm living in this shack,
I don't mind,
with just the shirt on my back. Maybe the future looks black. Oh well, it's hard to pay the rent.
I don't mind.
The bank won't give me a cent.
Don't matter.
All that money's been lent. What the hell? I don't mind and it don't matter. It's just a question of mind.
That was John Herrington and Mind Over Matter, the opening track from his excellent new album Adult Entertainment, a self-release. You're best known for working with Steely Dan for something like 16 years, Michael McDonald, Boz Scaggs, Phoebe Snow and Madeline Peyrou. And in between all that, you somehow managed to keep a solo career going for some 24 odd years, and we're here to talk about your brand new album Adult Entertainment, your first album for 4 years. It's a great title, John. Does it seek to reflect your target audience and collective experiences, perhaps?
I guess so, in a way. I mean, we were looking for a title for it for a while, and there was something about this record that started to take shape and hang together with the lyric writing. And,
yeah.
Dennis and I, the bass player who co-wrote most of the tunes with me, we were having so much fun writing the tunes that... It ended up taking on, you know, a certain kind of character, and it seemed like it was definitely designed. It was sort of pop music for grown-ups, you know.
Very good way of putting it.
Yes, I've seen better days. I'm in a permanent. I guess it's more than a phase I'm going through.
I started the show with Mind Over Matter because I think it's a good example of the overall feel of the album. It's catchy, it flows well, and it's got a great hook. And a lot of your material on this record does seem to pay homage to the 60s almost, doesn't it?
It definitely does. That was intentional.
Right.
And natural at the same time. I mean, it was the time when my musical sensibilities were really formed, you know, by mostly, a combination of AM and then FM radio.
FM radio, yeah.
But, you know, I grew up listening, you know, with my ear glued to the radio, and I was just a huge pop music fan from the time I was a toddler, really. And, you know, once I was making music... you know, I remember loving, like, for instance, a Rolling Stones record from the late 60s or the early 70s could have, you know, a country tune on it. It could have a Chicago blues cover. It could have their own pop writing on it. It would have a Motown cover. I mean, and we all took that in stride. Nobody blinked. You know, there wasn't this formula approach to record making.
Thinking about your previous record, although it was still a guitar-driven album, it kind of increasingly featured you as a songwriter as well as a guitarist. I mean, did that give you the confidence to focus more on the songs on this record?
Well, it's funny. Making time on my hands was a very conscious effort to put the guitar and a certain kind of guitar playing right in the center of the music and to really commit to it. To give the listener a lot of that, because I'd made records, you know, for many years, and often people would be surprised that there wasn't as much guitar featured on the records because they thought of me as a guitar player more than a songwriter, I guess. And so I really wanted to do that, but once I had done that on that record, when we were coming up with those songs on Time on My Hands, I knew I wanted to feature the guitar, but I didn't want to do it at the expense of the, you know, the quality of the songs. We worked very hard just to find a way to balance, you know, the songs with the guitar playing feature. I didn't want it to just be throwaway songs. And you know, I think over the years we have just gotten better at the song craft.
Let's play a track from that album, Time on My Hands. This is called Shine, Shine, Shine.
Give me a taste of your fine red wine. Then everybody gonna be feeling fine. We're gonna party till we see the sun. Shine, shine, shine. I wanna see you dancing on that floor. Don't
the songs for adult entertainment arrived almost organically from seeing what worked with audiences. So I'm wondering, at what point did you start to think you might be able to make an album out of the material?
We had been playing quite a lot of shows, playing music from Time on My Hand for quite a few months. We had been out there, and we would do stuff from older records too. But, you know, as we did more and more shows, we were paying attention and realizing what tunes were going over the best and which ones were working. There were so many of them that were the humorous ones. We came off of many months of doing those gigs where we were playing songs from Time on My Hands mostly. And Dennis just had an idea for a song, and he came over to my studio one weekend. We put a song together, and I think we were sensitive to the kind of thing that was working, and so we said, let's just write another one sort of like that. There's an awful lot of music that gets made that, you know, in a very earnest way, you know. And there's something about the pure adult fun of making a record that's, you know, a little silly, a little bawdy, a little fun, and it pokes fun at ourselves, you know, at our age.
Okay, let's play an example of that. This is Blacklisted in Bougieville.
I had a sailboat with a 50-foot man. Cohiba's Castro gave me for free. I drank bourbon that was older than me. I had connections that went straight to the top. I sold my stocks off just before they would drop. I bathed in champagne, swam in fine wine. Spent $1 billion that was never even mine. I just got richer with each scheme that I tried. Brussels for truffles, wrapping gold leaf.
That was John Harrington and Blacklisted in Boogerville. John Harrington's my guest. We're speaking about his brand new album called Adult Entertainment. Great, great record. There's some satire in there, and at the same time, it's obviously very close to some true life stories. But my question is, did you have to tread carefully with that subject matter, or does the song carry some anger as well?
I don't think we had to tread carefully. We were really just trying to sort of let ourselves go over the top as much as we could. The more outrageous we could make that character sound, the more it rang true.
I get that.
And life stories that we know too well.
Getting back to your guitar playing, your original love was kind of rock and blues, and then you schooled yourself in jazz. But in retrospect, was that almost the kind of perfect grounding for your current role in Steely Dan?
It's true. When you think of the Steely Dan guitar work, they have, obviously they featured so many great players, session players and players that were in the band over the years. But it's interesting because even though their writing is certainly jazz-informed, you know, especially jazz harmony-informed, yeah. You know, there's almost nothing that's a straight-ahead jazz, you know, groove or feel or with sounds, and especially from the guitar. I mean, there's no real jazz guitar sound on the record. They're all more contemporary blues, pop, and rock guitar sound. Most guys who don't have the experience playing jazz and the experience especially with jazz harmony and how to improvise over jazz harmony would really be at sea with most of the catalog. Unless you have the training and have really good ears, you know, they will throw you. It's not simple stuff.
Blacklisted in Boogerville.
You want me to put that orange thing on? My tailor's gonna be furious. Has anybody seen the sommelier? Why is that big guy smiling at me?
Let's play an example of your bluesy style. This is a track called I Ain't Got You.
I got the pictures inside the drawer. I got the ring that you don't wear no more. I got my heart, it still beats true. I ain't got you. I got the bed, seems so wide. I got the extra pillow on the other side. I got the room, it's got the view. I ain't got a you.
I ain't got you.
Oh, I've got everything, baby.
I ain't got you.
Everything from A to Z. Nothing if you're not here with me. I got the house, it's on a hill. I'm living large and I got time to kill. I got the ocean, the lakefront too. Well, I ain't got you.
Thinking about your influences, I mean, we've mentioned the fact you studied jazz, and presumably that gave you the ability to tackle a wider range of music in the future, but you've identified people like Wes Montgomery, George Benson, and John McLaughlin, and I'm quoting you now, as being true to what they do best. You also worked with Jack McDuff, who actually gave George Benson his big break, I believe, and you also play with Buddy Montgomery, Wes's brother. It seems like you're checking out all your musical sources right there.
Well, I was particularly lucky to get the gig with Jack. That's a historical guitar chair. You know, there's some players that've been in, but George is
Kenny Burrell.
Deep for me.
Yeah.
And you know, I happen to be lucky enough to live in Indianapolis, Indiana for about 3 years. But so many of the guys that played with Wes were still there, of course, because Wes died quite young. And his brother, Buddy, was there at the time, and I got to work with him. Lots of other players and organ players, and just the town still had a lot going on that way, and there were still some clubs we could play.
Great musical grounding, really.
It was really fun.
Yeah. I mean, one of the people I identified in your music was Tom Petty. I guess not just the jangling guitars, but actually some of your vocal phrasing as well. And he comes from that era as well, or draws from that era, so it makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
he certainly does, and I'm a big fan. He makes amazing records, and he's a consistently great singer, and an unusual singer, you know, kind of a character.
Yeah,
singer.
Exactly.
Not a singer's singer, really, but those are the ones I like.
Doctor's orders.
You seem a little stressed.
Doctor's orders.
deep tissue massage.
Doctor's orders.
Dude, that's what the doctor ordered.
Doctor's orders. Doctor's orders. Doctor's orders.
Hide your sisters, lock up your daughters. I'm looking for love.
That was John Harrington and Doctor's Orders from his Adult Entertainment album. Now that's another song with a funky groove and some great double entendre lyrics, and another great example of the humour in this album, I think.
Yeah, we had fun writing that one. I think Dennis saw an article somewhere in a paper or something saying some doctor was saying love was really good for you. In fact, as many times a week as you could.
Yeah. We're going to play Crazy Good in a moment, but I want to ask you a general question, which pertains both to that track, Crazy Good, and Can I Get a Volunteer, which are your kind of two out-and-out country songs. Did you ever have one eye on Nashville when you were writing this album? Because it's such an accessible album, and it would fit the Nashville blueprint of great songs and guitar playing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wasn't thinking subconsciously of it. Those two songs came up because we had lyrics that seemed to require a certain kind of musical accompaniment. I mean, it's Crazy Good. It had to move at that pace, and I had an acoustic guitar, and I was strumming away, and it just, that's going to have to go that way. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about songwriting, especially collaborating too. When there's something in the air and you have some kind of little handle and you say, okay, let's pursue this. This looks like it's worth pursuing. Then it kind of leads you, and when it's working the best, you just sort of follow it, and it doesn't really feel like you're directing it. It feels like you're following.
Yeah, that's the nature of songwriting, I guess, some part of it anyway. Let's play Crazy Good.
Won't forget the night I can't recall. My friends all tell me that I had a ball. We set them up, we knocked them down. Did the deed, got out of town. Strange, I don't remember it at all. But making memories can become a grind. Slowly I began to lose my mind. Almost any girl would do. On a good night, maybe two. Now I'm gonna leave all that behind. Is it crazy good? Just what I've been waiting for. Crazy good, right on time. Good brain cells on the way. Never thought I'd catch a glance. Never thought we'd do the dance. Never thought that I would ever say that it's crazy good. Just what I've been waiting for. Crazy good, right on time. Crazy good. Everything I want. Stick to you like glue. 'Cause it's crazy good.
Lovely feel, lovely country vibe on that track. That was John Harrington and Crazy Good from his album Adult Entertainment. Certainly an album I've been playing. In fact, I was playing your other album leading into this, and then when this album dropped in, firstly I was amazed by the change of direction, but after you played it twice, it's very addictive, and it's a real work of art. It's excellent. The album's called Adult Entertainment. It's by John Harrington. It's already out there. John, where can people get it?
Well, they get it on my website, and if you think in threes, you can spell it right. It's JohnHerrington.com, and we have a store on that site, a tab on the top, and that's the best place to get it, but you can also get it on Amazon, on iTunes, CDBaby.com.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.
Adult Entertainment. For the past half hour, you've been listening to John Harrington in conversation with Pete Veenstra. Thank you again for listening.